Church, it is so great to see you today. Thank you very, very much for making the critical decision to be a part of starting your week out, worshiping our Father in spirit and in truth. Again, as has been said already, if you're visiting with us, thank you very much for being here as well. Those who have tuned in live stream, we hope that very soon you'll be able to be back with us. We are thankful for those opportunities that we have to be able to provide that, but we certainly want everybody to be able to be here whenever they can. It's an encouragement to all of us. Hey, another announcement just to give you. The churches here have always been so good. I mean, with COVID and everything else, it was kind of hard during those times, but we've supported one another's Vacation Bible Schools. We had other churches support ours. Creekwood also has Vacation Bible School starting tonight. And so if you want to go over there and be a part of that, please feel free to take your children. Be a great time as well. I am going through a study of the book of Ephesians. Of course, there have been times we've had to take an aside, whether it's the 4th of July, Mother's Day, those kinds of things, and preach those type of topical sermons. But what I want to do is, as I go through this book, remind you of who Paul is writing to. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. Again, the church at Ephesus, they were on fire. They were in an area that was a great trading area, great port area and such. And so there are a lot of folks that come through there. They unfortunately were in an area where there was a lot of idol worship. However, because of Paul, they were able to leave that lifestyle and convert over to Christianity and worship the one true living God, the same God that we are in the presence of this morning. And so that being said, everything was going along, and Paul did a great job through the Holy Spirit writing these six chapters, reminding us of how important it is to be the church, to be who God designed us to be. Now, there is an aside to this that's very dangerous. This same church, and I'll reference this again later, left Jesus Christ. Remember, in the seven churches of Asia, as Jesus addresses them, he addresses the church at Ephesus, and he said, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And so we, as a church, can never get too comfortable. We can never get too comfortable and say, hey, we've got it all figured out. Everything's going along. Everything's clicking. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't enjoy being able to worship together. It doesn't mean we shouldn't enjoy being able to fellowship with one another. But we, as an individual, as a church, we can't get too comfortable because we know Satan is roaring. He is roaming. He is out there trying to get us to fall and to stumble. So today, this is not a lesson that I think we struggle with here at Azalea City. In fact, this is, I believe, again, I don't have a lot of outside experience, and I am very much, as they say in coaching and in sports, a homer, right? I love this place. But this place is the greatest place to be able to build somebody up I've ever been around. You know, are there exceptions to rules? Probably so. But here's the deal. I have, in large part, been thankful for God to keep our family here because I cannot tell you enough how you have encouraged me and edified me and built me up along the way. So this lesson is not because I think we struggle with this, but I do think it's a lesson that we need to be careful that we don't slip like the church at Ephesus did. They left their first love, they let their guard down, and they messed up. We must remain a church that challenges ourselves. And what we want to challenge ourselves with today is being edified, building up the church. When Bo was about 2 years old, I've warned him that I have a couple stories already. When he was about 2 years old, it snowed. Believe it or not, we were at a football camp at Mobile Christian School yesterday. A.J. McCarron puts a camp on every year, and we host that camp, and we've got a new field there, and so it was very nice, but it was, let's just say, the temperatures were elevated greatly yesterday. As we would also say, it was very hot. And so to think about snow in Mobile is very hard to think about and comprehend right now, right? My children, I believe, at least Bo, Madeline's seen it once. I believe Bo has seen it twice over the years, save that ice storm that came through as well in that January. But when Bo was about 2 years old, it snowed and stuck. It wasn't very much. It didn't last very long, but it did. And so he was here at the daycare, and I believe they closed the daycare, but South Alabama didn't close down that day, did they, Michelle? So she had to stay at work. And so I had Bo. And so just like every great father, I bundled him up, man. I put the gloves on him, everything else. Let's go outside and let's play in the snow. And all he wanted to do when he heard about snowing was build a snowman. Of course, we didn't get a lot of snow. So I started very small. And I had to accumulate all the snow that was everywhere to be able to build the base of this snowman. And so we get it. And we get it going, and, you know, the base is like this big, okay? It's not very big. And so then we get the next part, put it on. And, man, I've had to work hard to get this snowman and everything else. And, man, we get the little sticks and make the arms. And I don't think I had a hat. It was so small. But we tried to put some eyes on it and all that stuff and everything else. And I'm like, look at there. Let's take a picture. And we took a picture and everything, sent it to Mama and all that. And the next, I was like, Bo, isn't this great? We built a snowman. The first thing he did was went, bam! And stomped it to the ground. Yeah. Sometimes that's how the church is, though. People work and work and work and build it and build it and build it. And then some person, immature, comes along and stomps on their fire. We've got great construction workers here. We've got great demolition crews here. And I think if you could go to them and ask, how long does it take to construct a building? You know, you might be blown away between getting permits and everything else and all. It takes quite a while to construct a building. But then you might ask them, hey, how long does it take to tear it down? It doesn't take near as long. You see, if we're not careful, the church will fall victim to allowing people to tear it down. We can't be in the tearing down business. We can't be in the church in the deconstruction business. We've got to construct. We've got to build. We've got to encourage. We've got to edify. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read together verses 11 through 16. This will be our text for today. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, the apostle writes there, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. For what? Building up the body of Christ. Let me read that verse again. Those verses again, very important. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, we're not apostles today, but Paul was an apostle. So the apostles, remember, in the early church, the first thing that we learned that they continued steadfastly in was the apostles' doctrine. The apostles were there to equip the saints. The prophets were there to equip the saints. The evangelists are there to equip the saints. The shepherds, we have shepherds here, are here to equip the saints. The teachers are here to equip the saints. Who are the saints? We all are. We're the saints. If we're in a saved relationship with Jesus Christ, we are saints today. We do that to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for what? Not tearing down, but building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we will attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When I read through that section of Scripture, and I read it through the English Standard Version because the way that it says what we're talking about today, when I read of this, I believe the apostle is getting a message across to all of us. And I love simple. And here's the message. Grow in your faith and build the church. Grow in your faith and build up the church. So today, what I want us to do is talk about what it takes to build. Now, as you can see, I've got an acronym here that spells out the word build, okay? B-U-I-L-D. And so every letter will be a point today is how that will work. And it will all come from our text here in Ephesians 4. So the first letter, the letter B, as we build the church, we need to, as it says very plainly, build the body. Build the body. In Matthew 16, Christ gave Peter the keys of the kingdom. And He told all of us through that Scripture that He, being Jesus, would build His church. In Acts 2, you know what Peter did, right? He stood up on that day of Pentecost and he started building. Now listen, this is not a brick and mortar, right? Even though we're in this nice building today, this is not the church. This is a building. This is the building where the Azalea City Church of Christ meets. But if we didn't have this building, the Azalea City Church of Christ would still be in existence. We get that, right? Paul didn't start the early church with hammer and nails. He started it with the Word of God. He started it with the gospel. And that's what he used to build. He stood up on that day of Pentecost, started building, and he built upon the foundation of Christ and Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So what happened that day? Growth began. Because Paul, through the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up and he preached on that day of Pentecost that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected, and that they had killed Him. They knew, they needed to know what we need to do to get rid of this guilt. So they asked in verse 37, what do we do? Peter said in verse 38, repent and be baptized. So through that, what happens? 3,000 of them respond to the gospel, and growth begins. In Acts chapter 9, Paul, who wrote, of course, the book of Ephesians, he comes aboard the kingdom. And you know what happens with the kingdom while Paul's there? It's growing now. They stop numbering it. It's growing by multitudes. In the missionary work of Paul, he spent quite a lot of time building the church throughout the world, but especially as we talk about here in the book of Ephesus. So he wrote this wonderful letter. But I referenced this earlier and I told you we'd come back to it. Now in Revelation 2, verses 1 through 5. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Those are good things they were doing. Verse 3, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you, the church at Ephesus, have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Listen, if Jesus Christ could write a letter to the Azalea City Church today on edification, He would say, "You're doing a great job." I believe that. But the elders set as a theme for us here at Azalea City this year. Now we're past the halfway mark. We're in month 7 now of the year. We're on the downhill slide to the end of this year, right? So they started out in January. We want you to be in the book. We're challenging you to be allow the Word of God to be the lamp and light in your lives. From Psalm 119. So where are we? Are we still reading? Are we still studying? Are we still growing? Well, here's the deal. If we are, then we don't have to be concerned about Jesus writing that letter to us today and saying, "Hey, you've left your first love." But that's why we can't quit. That's why we must keep building. That's why we must keep growing. Growing in our faith, growing in our number, growing with one another. Somewhere along the way, the Ephesian Christians quit growing. They quit building. They left their first love. So today, what I'm asking us to do is rally. I'm challenging us as a church family to not ever quit building. I don't care if you are the most mature aged person in this room. Please don't stop building the church. You have talents, you have abilities, you have things that God has given you, Jason talked about this morning, that we need, I need. If you are a young Christian, don't think you're too young and you're too immature. Get in there, roll up your sleeves, and let's all build together. We must, if we're going to build the church, start by building the body. Secondly, this morning, the U, you might already be ahead of me, stands for unite. Unite. 2 weeks ago, not last week, it was 4th of July week, but the week before that, I taught out of Ephesians 4 from the pulpit here on the number one, unity, right? I believe Ephesians 4 could be referred to as the one chapter of the Bible, those 7 ones that are there. In fact, verse 3 and following say, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, unity. Here's the U in build. Let's let it be unite. Because listen, here's why. In our text today, Ephesians 4, verse 11 and following, "He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till what? We all come to the what? Unity of the faith." So see, there it's still critical. Yes, it's the one chapter of the Bible, but what we're doing is building until all of us are united in our faith. If we are to keep growing, if we are going to keep growing, we must build. We must do that on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If we will build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then things can't go wrong. Hey, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have trouble, right? There's going to be trouble all along. Satan is going to knock. He's going to try to rattle the foundations. But like we said a few weeks ago, we're going to lock arm in arm and say, "Red Rover, Red Roverson, Satan right over. We don't care. We're united. We're in this together." Isn't that what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 12? Isn't that such a beautiful passage of Scripture? 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about, hey, we're not all eyeballs. That would be a funny look, right, if we were all eyeballs sitting in here. But some are hands, some are feet, some are arms, some are fingers, some are, we could fill in the blanks, right? We're all of these things. And so if we're going to grow and build and be what God desires us to be, then we've got to do it together. in perfect unity. Wednesday night I talked to you about Nehemiah and I told you I'd reference that again today. Well, here it is. When they rebuilt the walls in the book of Nehemiah, again, they were able to do that in 52 days. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it'd be amazing today with all the equipment and technology we have. But they did it in that time, without all of that, in 52 days. How did they do that? Well, verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 2, come and let us, build the wall of Jerusalem. They did it together. They did it arm in arm. They did it once for all and all for one, right? They did it united. And that's what we are here at Azalea City. We've got to remain united and we've got to build together. So then the next letter in the word build is going to cancel what I just said. Build the body, do it united, but we also have to do it individually. What do you mean by that, Terry? Why are you canceling yourself out? Well, I'm not. If you'll stay with me. Hey, I know, you know, the coaches, they always say, there's no I in team. Very true. T-E-A-M. There is no I in team. I get it. But there is an I in unity. Okay? In order for us to be united, it's got to start with me. And you got to make that about you. It's got to start with you, fill in the me there, right? It must start with me. If we're going to be united in the building of the body of Christ, then we must individually commit to growing our own faith. Here's what I'm talking about. In our Bible study, you know, listen, I do a lot of things to help you, but to come to your house every morning, open up the passage I want you to read, point it to you, and sit there with you while you read along, I don't think that's going to be feasible. I can't make you open your Bible every morning and study it. That's where the individual has to come in. You know, that's where I must be disciplined. It starts with me. It starts with you. If I am going to be a team, if we're going to build together, then I must work on me. I referenced 1 Corinthians 12 earlier. Here it is again in the text. Verses 27 through 31. Now you are the body of Christ. And members, how? Individually. Hear that? You are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And I show you a more excellent way. Now, hear me out on that. Paul's talking in a time when they still needed prophets and they still needed tongues and they still needed these things. We don't need that anymore, and that has been done away with because the Word of God is complete now. And we have written proof of that. But you got to understand the context of Paul saying it. He's writing to a church that was what? Divided. If you go back and study the very first part of 1 Corinthians, he was upset with them that they were divided. And so here in chapter 12, as I mentioned earlier, he's already talked about not all have the same part. But here in the end of this, he's saying we're all members of the body of Christ individually. So we got to work on self. He said not all can be an apostle, not all can be a prophet, not all can be a teacher. Today we say it this way, not all are elders. Not all are Bible teachers. Not all are preachers. Not all are youth ministers. Not all are fill in the blank, right? But we all have a part. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to show you that more excellent way. You see, we must use the talents we are given as individuals. And we must use them together. with one another if we're going to build the body of Christ. So we've got to build the body. We've got to be united. We've got to do it individually. And how else are we going to do it? You got the L right already. We got to do it in love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul, who writes the book of Ephesians, Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians 12, he wrote there at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, shouldn't have been a, it wasn't a chapter break when he wrote it, remember the letter. But at the end of 12, he says, I show you a more excellent way. And then he spends 13 verses talking about the power of love. It just goes hand in hand, if I'm going to build the body, that I have to do it in love. I have to do everything based on love. I've used this numerous times. But love is the mortar that keeps the church together. You know, mortar is overlooked a lot in a house, in a building, but it's what keeps those bricks together. Well, love is our mortar. It's going to keep us united individually together so that we can build the church. Paul, in writing and teaching how the husband should love his wife. This is amazing how all this works together. When he wrote, based on what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, he writes about husbands loving their wives. And here's what he says in chapter 6, verse 25. Husbands, this is Ephesians, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, we talk a lot about how the husbands ought to love, but do we remember how much Christ loved the church? I mean, he spent his public ministry doing a lot of good, but really focusing on those apostles, or disciples then, they were to become apostles, focusing on them, changing their attitude, changing their mentality, changing the things that they thought the way they acted and reacted. He was trying to make them become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Why? Because they were the ones who would bring into reality the kingdom that Christ was dying for. You see, that's how much He loves the church. He loves the church so much that He talked about her coming in Matthew 16 and other times as well. And He trained those apostles. And He gave the Holy Spirit so that Peter and others could stand up and bring into existence what we know today, the church of our Lord. That's love. That's the way we need to love the church. Christ died because He loved the church so much. You know, when Paul saw the Lord, he was Saul then, on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the people? That's not what he said, is it? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, to my knowledge, Saul had not ever persecuted Jesus Christ. Literally. Again, I don't know this. I'm just saying we don't have it recorded in Scripture where he threw a stone at Jesus, where he threw an insult at Jesus, where he tried to hurt Jesus or kill Jesus. We do not have that. I'm not saying, I don't know all of it, but in Scripture, we do not have that recorded. But we do have recorded Saul hurting the church. Approving of the men who stoned to death Stephen, who all he did was love the church and love Jesus Christ. The same Saul who was making havoc of the church. He went to the rulers to go into Damascus so that he could get approval to drag people away from their families and persecute the church. But that's not what Jesus said to him. He said, why are you persecuting me? today. Do not lose this. We are part of Jesus Christ. As the church, we are Him. We are part of Him. He is the head. We are the body. So do not, if you would not run down Jesus Christ, do not run down the church of Jesus Christ. Because we are Him. We must love the church. The church is Christ. And when there is a lack of love for it, and a lack of love for those who are lost, and a lack of a need to be a part of it, then I think it's safe to conclude that then there is a lack of a love for Jesus Christ. The church at Ephesus, they quit building. They quit being united. Because individually, there quit being a love and zeal for Christ. That's why He asked them, wanted to know why they had left their first love. So, if we're going to build the body, we got to build. We got to do it in unity. We got to be individually working on ourselves. We got to do it out of love. And then we got to base it all on doctrine. You go back to our text, Ephesians 4, 11 and following, especially verse 14, listen to this. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we will attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that, all that, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful times. If we're going to build the church, build the body, if we're going to do it the way that we've described it today, we've got to do it on the foundation of the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. In verses 14 now through 18 of Ephesians chapter 4. Here's 14 again, we just read it, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Verse 15 now, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There is one Lord. There is one church. There is one God. There is one hope. There is one baptism. And it's all based on one truth. And it's found written in what we call the Bible. The Bible is the only authority. So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, that was written a long time ago, uh-uh. God is not the author of confusion. You see, that'd be confusing, wouldn't it? If somebody said, oh, whoa, no, that sin doesn't matter. That was a long time ago. That doesn't matter. Well, it'd be confusing to me as a person trying to become a Christian or a young Christian. Well, then why would God do that? That'd be confusing. Well, that's not what God did. He wrote it, and it is a living word. It's not dead. It is alive. And we've got to stand on that doctrine. We've got to stand on that truth. We've got to stand on that written Word. If not, we will be knocked down. We won't build anymore. We'll be torn down. We won't edify anymore. We'll do the tearing down. Paul said to the church at Corinth, again, they were very divided. Here's what he wanted them to get on the same page with. He said, we preach Christ crucified. That's the message we got to preach today. If we're going to grow the kingdom, then we can't teach any other doctrine. We can't be swayed by any other doctrine than what is written in God's Word. One day, I told you I was going to tell a couple boat stories today. He will not remember any of these stories, I'm sure. But I had a lot of time with Bo when he was little. I would be up here working, and so I'd drive him home from... He went to Azalea City Christian here. So he was getting to be about 3 years old. And I don't know where this came from. I can't even remember all the details. But he was really into knives. He just thought they were kind of cool, you know. We were driving home from somewhere and he said, Daddy? I said, yes, son. He said, when I get bigger, can I have a real knife? Now, by the way, he's lost this desire, this... not the case anymore, but he said, can I have a real knife? I said, yeah, buddy, when you get bigger, you can have a real knife. So, of course, that made me a little curious. Why does he want a knife? You know, what do you want to do with a real knife? He said, I want you to have a real knife, Daddy, and I want to have a real knife. And then we're going to go outside and we're going to cut things and we're going to spit. I'm not making that up. Obviously, you can tell that is not a made-up story. That's just too far-fetched to make up. I don't know about the spitting part, but there's a lot of truth in the cutting. The Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can cut through the hardest of hearts. That's why it's so important. No matter how hard we are, no matter how hard our life was, no matter how many bad things we've done, we must open this book and read it and let it convict us. It's sharp. It's really, really sharp. It was so sharp, in fact, that I believe Peter would have kept preaching in Acts 2. I think he was just getting revved up. But they were so cut to the heart, they had to know what they needed to do. I enjoy weightlifting. I've lifted it a couple different ways in my life. Up to about a year ago, I lifted so that I could just lift the gym. I just wanted to be the strongest person I could be. But then, I don't know, things start hurting when you get to a certain age. And so I'm like, well, now I want to not do that anymore, and I just want to stay in shape and cut some of that excess off, so to speak. But here's what I know about bodybuilding, those kinds of things. In order to get stronger, you've got to strain the muscle. When you go and you lift weights, you tear down slowly but surely a little of that muscle. Then you give it time to recover. You eat properly. You sleep properly. You do all the things you're supposed to do. And eventually it's going to build back. And every time it's going to build a little stronger and a little stronger. Everybody could get stronger. People just end up quitting, right? Well, to grow spiritually, we've got to strain ourselves. We've got to work at it. We've got to tear down so much of that old stuff. We've got to rest in it. We've got to feed it the right way. And when we do, we wake up the next day spiritually stronger than we were the day before. Everybody can get stronger spiritually. But so many just quit along the way. Today, where are you? Are you building? Are you active? Are you edifying? Are you standing on the written Word of God? Or does it need to cut your heart today? Today, if you're not yet a member of the greatest institution in existence today and forever, the Church of our Lord, all you need to do is walk this aisle, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. God will wipe your sins away. He will add you to the church. Today, if you are here, and you've done that, but along the way, you took that snowman and you just crushed it. Today, it's time to build it back. Maybe you think your soul has been crushed and it's permanently damaged. But your heart can be penetrated again. You have the opportunity. We all have the opportunity. Right now. And if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.